They was showing us a little video there of Sonny Shannon running in a race somewhere or another. I was telling everybody, remind me to never invite him bear hunting. Because I don't take nobody in the bear woods that can outrun me. Well, last time that I was up here, I was talking about how our spiritual lives kind of can relate to farming. And so today I want to talk about one of the tiniest farmers, the honeybee. You know, a great deal of life on earth is sustained by the amazing life and work of the tiny honeybee. Without its carefully tuned and executed cycle of pollination, many kinds of plants would cease to exist. Even mankind would be at risk. You know, here a while back, all my honeybees, I had a hive or two, but they all died out. Don't really know what happened. But to buy these bees back, we're looking at, you know, a few hundred dollars that we didn't have. And so I figured, well, that's that. But I happened across a video, and this guy was talking about how to attract swarms of bees. So for $12, ordered some of this lure he was using and had some kind of bee pheromones and stuff in it. But anyway, we ordered some, took one of my old hive bodies, baited it up, set it up on an old metal shelf sitting out by the garage. And within a couple of days, started seeing some bees going in and out. So I started going down there a couple of times a day, just trying to figure out if they were moving in or they were just robbing out the whole wax out of the hive. Well, after about a week, it seemed like there was an awful lot of bees hanging out there in the front of the hive. So I lifted the top off, and sure enough, swarm had moved in. It's again working. So I got to watching these little critters. You know, most of the time, they paid me no attention. They were watching them work, even with the top of the hive removed. But a couple times, I guess I got a little too annoying and wanted to give me a little sting just to say, back off a little, I've got work to do. You know, it's amazing to watch them come in loaded with pollen and how fast that they can build comb, start making honey, and have a whole new generation of bees on the way in a short amount of time. You know, we can learn a lot on how to go about producing fruits in our spiritual lives by studying God's physical creation. That's why God commands the sluggard to go to the ant, consider her ways. Let's turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You know, God's creation helps us to understand God's ways. By studying God's creation around us, we can see countless examples of diligence and unity of purpose, selflessness, courage, and fortitude. Turn over to Romans 1. And down to verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, this is the New King James Version, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. We can see it all over, throughout nature. You just sit and study and look. It's full of endless examples of wisdom, power, and the majesty of God. Nature works exactly as God meant for it to. By studying creation, we as Christians can see how to we should live a productive life. But one, you know, over all that, one of the most fascinating of all God's creatures is that little honeybee. From the beginning, mankind has enjoyed all the varieties and flavors of honey produced by this little critter. And without the diligence of the honeybee for pollination, you know, farming would be at the least difficult, if not impossible. Men would have a hard time trying to come up with a way to pollinate the hundreds of thousands of trees, shrubs, plants, and flowers, which billions of these little bees do for us and for free. So the honeybee is a good example of diligence, selflessness, tireless energy, wisdom, devotion, fearlessness, loyalty, and they wholeheartedly work together for the good of the hive. So we can certainly learn a great deal from the amazing honeybee. They work together in harmony. They function like a well-oiled machine. You know, we as God's church can learn a lot by just observing this honeybee. Because God's church should function as well as a beehive. An average beehive has about 40 to 60,000 bees. Each bee instinctively carries out its various functions. You've got the queen bee who lays thousands of eggs to build up the hive. Then you have your drones, which are the only males in the colony, and there's only a few hundred of them. But their job is to produce offspring to help keep the brood warm and the hive working properly. The worker bees make up the rest of the hive. As soon as they hatch from their cells the first couple of days, they work cleaning out old cells, getting them ready to use again. Then go on to become nurse bees. Then they graduate from that to building honeycomb, storing nectar and pollen, and converting the nectar into honey. Then on to being guard bees, making sure nothing foreign can enter that hive and tear it up. Then when they're about 3 weeks old, they start going on foraging trips, gathering pollen and nectar. But as soon as they hatch, they start working. And they don't stop until they literally work themselves to death. These worker bees are very selfless, self-sacrificing creatures. You know, the average worker bee only lives about 38 to 40 days or so. And they've worked until you see them out in front of the hive and their little wings are wore plumb off. So, and that's the end of it. They worked until they couldn't work no more. So what are some of the examples or lessons that we can observe between the smooth functioning of the Church of God and a common beehive? You know, members of the Church of God, like the bees, must work together unitedly as a whole for a single goal. As it tells us, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. This is quite a few verses, but I had to get them all in there. 1 Corinthians 12, starting down in verse 12, and I'm going to read through 28. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. You know, just as the bees instinctively knows what to do and does it. But we, however, possess intelligence. That spirit, that extra thing that God give us, not instinct. So we have to voluntarily choose to do the will of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. If we do this, God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, will direct each of the members of His church in the same way that the head of the human body directs all of its many members. Now, the queen bee lays a large number of eggs, and she really works hard. So do the worker bees. As we said before, they literally work themselves to death, having served their God-given purpose. The bees are very self-sacrificing. Jesus Christ showed us that the Christian likewise must learn to be selfless, self-sacrificing. He must even be willing to lay down his life for the sake of his goal, the kingdom of God. The honeybee is a diligent creature, tirelessly working. Likewise, God Almighty wants his people to be diligent. One example is, I'm not going to turn over, but Ecclesiastes 9:10. God says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There's other examples of that same thing in the Bible. Bees in the time of harvest diligently lay up for the hard times, especially for winter. The Bible tells us to work diligently now, so that we can lay up a treasure in heaven, a reward which Jesus Christ will give us at his second coming. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. So like the bee, we in God's church have to keep busy and be diligent. Have selflessness, tireless energy, use wisdom, devotion, fearlessness, loyalty, and wholeheartedly work together so we can also achieve that golden treasure promised at Christ's return, the kingdom of God.